Y'all be finding Romans 8 this morning with me. Romans chapter 8. Aren't you glad Jesus is alive? Man, that kind of changed things, didn't it? That just changed everything. Man. We're going to talk about trusting Him beyond this. Bill hit a point this morning. I was going to hit this exact point this morning in my message. It's so amazing. Talking about how that you can't trust someone or believe in someone unless you know them. And that's the exact point I was going to make this morning about God. You know, Bill said that a lot of people view God as being mad at them, angry at them. They're reaping from God something they've done. We have all said that. God's punishing me. You know, God's doing this to me. God's against me. God's finally caught up with me. The long arm of the law, excuse me, the long arm of God has finally caught me. But that's not who our God is. What my Bible says about God. My Bible says these three words, and you'll be able to know the third one by the time I get to the third one. God is love. God is love. God's not against you. If God's against you, He wouldn't have died for you. Come on, people. If God was against you, why would He have suffered at Calvary to give His life for humanity's life, who rejected Him, who cast Him away, who denied Him, who spit upon Him, who cursed Him, who blasphemed against Him, who hung Him on a cross and mocked Him, yet He died. He's for us. That's why He came. And if we can learn who God really is, guess what? We can trust Him. It's like your kids. If you got more than one, they're all different. And they have to earn your trust, don't they, when they're growing up? You let them go to a friend's house at 12 or 13 and say, okay, hang out at the mall, whatever. You better be back here, da-da-da-da, whatever that case is. And if they're late, they've broken your trust. But if they're on time, okay, that's one gold star. You give them a next assignment, what to do. If they break that, you lose your trust. If they don't, you've earned their trust. Your kids are like that. You either trust them or you don't trust them. If you got more than one kid, it's probably 50-50. Half of them you trust, half of them you don't. It's just how life works. If we know who God is, we can trust that. If I know God is for me, I can trust that. If I know God's not going to leave me, I can trust that. If I know God's never going to stop loving me, I can trust that. If I know God's not going to turn His back on me because I mess up, I can trust that. If I know when everybody else fails me that God will never fail me and God will never change who He is, I can trust that. And when I can trust Him, I can believe Him. And when I believe Him, I will follow Him regardless of what I'm seeing around me. Period. That's trust. Our money has that, right? In God, I trust. But when offering time comes, many of you don't follow that motto. It's in me job, I trust. It's in me bank account, I trust. Like an Irishman, don't I? It's in me bank account, I trust, y'all. In God, I trust. Do we know who He is? Romans 8, the world is hungry. We know that, right? The world is hungry for something beyond this. Every person, I actually heard a little clip of an interview where Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, is no longer a Christian, he says. He used to be a Christian, but now he's spiritual. He says there's got to be more than one way for people to find what they need to find. And so I'm no longer traditional Christian. I'm open to other ideas, and I'm now spiritual. I heard him the very own words of this interview say this. Okay, so he was a Christian or was a follower of Christ. Now he's open to other concepts. Here's my point. He knows there's something beyond this. And he's seeking that. And he's hungry for that. And he's searching that. And maybe the traditional church has let him down. But like Bill said, I think as you said this morning, that our trust can't be in the ones around us because they're going to fail us. Look, I know as a pastor I'm not the best. I know most days I'm an A-. I get that. And there's those days I'm an A+. I get that. I know I'm going to fail, y'all. I know that. But if our trust is in each other or in the corporation of the church or the people, it's like I say, people don't go to church because there's hypocrites. Yeah, there's hypocrites. Of course there are. Some of y'all say ugly words outside church. That's not real spiritual and godlike, is it? Some of y'all may pop a beer or smoke a cigarette. Sometimes that's not considered real godly. Yes, there's hypocrites. But there's going to be hypocrites at Logan's today, too, when you go eat your lunch. And at Walmart, and you go buy your, you know, motor oil back here in TLE. There's hypocrites wherever you go. Our trust can't be in the hypocrite. Our trust is in Him. God, you don't fail me. People fail me. But God, you will never fail me. And I can trust that. And people are hungry and they're searching for something more than this. Whether that's, some people believe in reincarnation. They believe, you know, there's a, some kind of afterlife. You know, the Islam teaching teaches, you know, different heavens and different this and all these virgins are going to have and all that. They believe in something beyond this. So people are hungry. The Bible tells in Romans 8 what's about to happen. This is exciting. This is our future. This is our heritage. Romans 8. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know what Paul is saying? There's more than this. There's a glory beyond what we're experiencing, even the best of times. You know, you're 35 years old, no blood pressure issues, everything's perfect, your wife's perfect, your kids are perfect. Your job is perfect. Everything is going great. None of that compares to the glory which is going to come into our lives in the future. Because all of this is going to pass away. All of it. We don't always have our youth. We don't always have our hair. We don't always have our not sore knees or sore shoulders or bad teeth. We don't always have these things. Life happens. The struggle happens. My wife shouldn't be experiencing the pain she experiences on a daily basis. I don't think that's fair, if I'm being honest, because I know who my wife is, and I know her heart, and I know her love for God, and I know the character of who she is. And as she lays there in pain, I think many times this isn't right. Not that anybody, not that, you know, anybody deserves that except Tom Brady. No, I'm playing. It's not that anybody deserves that. Not anybody deserves that. But I'm saying this. We all have those challenges and questions of why. But Paul lets us know that the sufferings we have, whether it's Melanie's pain, whether it's your surgery coming up, whether it's your mind slipping, whether it's your sore knees or arms or going through a divorce or going through a lost job or going through a bankruptcy or going through addiction or whatever the battles you're facing today, whatever those are, none of those battles compare to what God is yet to do. That's coming our way. That is our promise from God, and that is our heritage. And people are hungry for that to happen, and it's going to happen. Look at verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature, creation is what it really means, waiteth. It's in waiting for the manifestation, the realization of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Because of the fallen state of man, because of sin, everything's messed up. It's all out of whack. We should not have grown old and die in the flesh. That wasn't our beginning. When God created us, He created us to live forever in the garden. Forever. No health issues, no problems. We had dominion over what God had created. We had power and authority over that. We were created in His image. What's His image? Perfect, glorious. And then sin came. And I like what Bill said in Sunday school this morning. He said, sin is pain. It's not pleasure. I don't think about that in a minute. That hit me. I'm like, wow. Sin is really pain. It's not pleasure. Because that short-lived pleasure you may have in the moment of sin definitely leads to a pain that stays afterwards. It's the hangover that doesn't leave. Because all you see is the sin before you. And we are in that fallen state. And we are always tempted on every side. And we sometimes fail in those temptations. And we don't always stand up against that. We're all messed up. Creation is messed up. But something is on the horizon. Something's about to happen. There's something for God's people that eyes have not ever seen and ears have not ever heard, and that we can't even imagine and fathom what God has prepared for His people that's coming ahead. So yes, I endure the storm and the battle knowing I will, no doubt about it, I will be delivered and set free from that battle. I will be set free from that storm. That giant will fall in front of me, and I will cross that bridge into a place God has prepared. And no giant can stop me. No, nothing, not even death can stop me, because I've overcame death through Jesus, because He overcame death for me. Creation is waiting. People are hungry. They want something to happen. Verse 22. We know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. And not only they, but ourselves. We're groaning. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. Talking about the Holy Spirit in us. That's the first fruits. Gives a little piece of what's to assure us of our salvation. Even we ourselves groan, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Resurrection power, right? Like the song we sing. There is resurrection power. We're not going to look, and we can all say amen to this. We're not going to look the way we do now later. We're going to look a whole lot different and a whole lot better, because we're not going to reflect any of the fallen nature. We're going to only reflect the glorious nature. And that looks so different. It looks totally different than what we look now. And creation is hungry and they're waiting. Even for those that don't believe in the Jesus thing, don't believe in the Bible thing, don't believe in the church thing, don't believe in the religion thing, they're searching something. Even here in little old Statesville, there's a few signs I've seen out that says fortune told or psychic. Come inside. No thanks. I know what's going to happen. I'm going to be with Jesus. I don't want to know when I'm going to die or how I'm going to die, what age I'm going to die. I don't want to know that, because I'd be stressed out to the day I died. I mean, why would anybody want to know? Ooh, look at my crystal ball. Mindy, in 2032. Bye-bye. Ooh, my Lord, can you imagine? Be awful, be torment. I don't want to know. We have psychics and fortune tellers and we horoscopes, right? And I guarantee you, most of y'all in here know what your horoscope sign is. Mm-hmm. I know what mine is. I'm a Taurus. The young man. Okay, Raleigh, I'm glad you're bringing me to church, brother. That's a good thing. People read those. They really do. A great fortune is, I mean, they're so generic. A great fortune is coming your way soon. Hang on for that which you've been waiting on. It shall come. Yeah, the power bills will come next Monday. I mean, that could be anything. It's a great fortune, and it's coming. We read Chinese cookies, right? Fortune cookies. Melanie reads hers every time. She'll crack it open and she'll show it to me. So proud. Look. Look what mine says. He can use it. He can. And God can talk Chinese. I get that. She shows that fortune cookie so proud. Look. A great miracle is on the way. Well, the Bible tells us that. But we're hungry for something. The world is looking for something in the cards, something in the sky, something in nature, something, you know, and we're going to more of a spiritual state than a religious state in our nation. You're hearing that. I'm not religious. I'm spiritual. This is what that means. You don't go to church. That's all that means. I don't go to church. I'm spiritual. Remember, the church is not where our faith is at. The head of the church is where our faith is at, and that is Christ. head of the church. That's who we're here to worship and to serve. So the world's hungry. They're groaning. We're groaning. We're hungry. We know there's something more to come. Verse 24. Is that right, 24? Oh, skip. That's right. 28. This is Don's verse. Is Don here today? Oh, there's Don. All right. Don likes this verse. We all like this verse, right? It gives us great comfort. This is our comfort food right here. This is when you need comfort food, verse 28. We know that all things, we know what all means, right? What does all mean? Everything. Everything. We know all things work together for good. How could this possibly be for my good? I have seen God force doors shut in my life and others' lives to see him open the right door and then know that's why God forced it shut. At the time it seemed wrong. At the time it seemed unfair. God, why are you closing this door? This is what I want, but it's not what I want. For I have plans for you. I have plans to bless you and to prosper you and not to curse you. It's my plans that count, not yours. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Another key in that, right? It's about God's purpose, not mine. God, what is your purpose? 18 years ago, this is 2020, 18 years ago or so, I made a decision to step away from my job to follow God's call. It was not an easy decision. I mean, when you are crying leaving your job, that ain't good. And I'm not ashamed to say that. I was, man. There was tears in my eyes leaving that last day of my job because I liked what I did a lot. A lot of the folks may not like me, but I like them. Remember hearing Kevin in that paint department all halfway across the store. I hear him over in the grocery side. You want a gallon of that? 2 gallons of that? Hear him all the way across the store yelling. Good memories. I had a decision to make. God, I like what I do. I'm making good money what I'm doing. I got a great future in this. Don always says that to me. He'll come back here and shake my hand on Sunday. He says, Pastor, that's a good message. I said, I think you got a future in this business. I've been doing it 17 years. So. But I remember leaving that last day. I'll never forget it. Man, it was so vivid. October 31st, 2003, Halloween day. 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, I'm walking out to my car, looking back at the store for the last time. It was very emotional for me. And I remember praying, okay, God, this is yours. This is what you want me to do. And believe me, Melanie will tell you, I'm a pretty steady person when it comes to decisions and processing things. I'm not a flighty person. I'm not going to, you know, come in here next Sunday, hey, y'all, got a new preacher for you. We're going to the Bahamas. Been real. Peace out. See you. That ain't going to be me. I'm not that person. I prayed for months about this. I prayed. And I still remember, I know you've heard this, I still remember when God spoke to me. I was going by the bike rack in apartment 7, which is toys. I was going by the bike rack, and I had my little walkie in my hand. You know, I was carrying my walkie, and I heard God speak to me. Now, Pastor, don't start all that mumbo. Look, you listen to a horoscope, so listen to my story. God spoke to me. I'm walking by the bike rack, and I hear God's voice say, it's time. It's time. Because I've been battling what to do. And I had a peace. And I have repeated out loud to God. You say it's time? Yes, it's time. I heard it again. It's so weird. And I knew God was speaking to me. And I didn't look back. That moment, I didn't look back. I had the peace of God I needed. It was about his purpose and his plan, not mine. It didn't look very good on paper. When I come home and tell Melanie what's happening, we got Jamie and Christian and Ashley, and they're about 7, 5, and 1. And Melanie's not working, and I come home and tell her, hey, quit my job, baby. Okay. Bye-bye house. Bye-bye microwave oven. You know, bye-bye everything. But man, God provided, and God moved, and God blessed, because this was God's purpose, not mine. I'll be the first to tell you it was never my plan to ever be a pastor of a church. I was preaching some already, but I was fine doing that. I was fine filling in, preaching every now and then, you know. Got my little thing out, and I was good for a little bit. Wasn't my plan, but it was God's plan. All things work together for good to them who are called according to his purpose. See, I trusted God is what I'm trying to say. I trusted him. I hear your voice. I know what you're telling me to do. And God, I trust that more than I trust how it looks on paper. I trust you more than what even makes sense. See, God a lot of times does radical things, doesn't he? Radical. When he healed the guy with the blind eyes, remember he spit in his hands, rubbed dirt, spit in his hands and rubbed his eyes. You know, God talked through a donkey one time, you know, to warn the false prophet not to go curse the people. I mean, God can move in very radical ways. Don't put God in a box. Verse 31, I believe. Bill touched on a couple of these verses this morning, actually, in Sunday school class. Verse 31, what shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? Man, if God's for me, the Bible tells us, Paul's saying, God's for you. He's not, you know, Bill said this morning, he said, God's not up there trying to catch you, trying to get you. You know, saying, you know, okay, you know, here I am. I'm going to, you know, whatever. God's not doing that to us. We tend to think of God just waiting to zap us when we step out of line. God is not wanting to zap you. God came to change the situation. And he did at Calvary. And forever, as they sung, he is glorified. Forever, he is on high. Forever we can sing hallelujah. Forever I am his child. Forever I have his redemption. Forever I'm covered by his grace. Forever and ever and ever and ever to eternity. That's the covenant I have with God. Why wouldn't anybody not want this promise? Because they don't know who God is. You know, Melanie said something years ago that's always stuck with me. It's really profound for our daily walk in life. Doesn't matter what you hear about someone. Judge them what they've been to you. If you hear somebody talking about that old Joe Brown, da, 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 and he's been good to you, you say, you know what? That's not the Joe Brown I know. The Joe Brown I know has been good to me. That's what I judge. He's been good to me. I don't know the Joe Brown you're talking about. We mischaracterize God in the way we present him in the gospel. And we really misrepresent him in the way we treat each other, don't we? We're judging one another, how they're dressed and how they look. Man, God don't care if you got Levi jeans or a prom dress. That don't change if you're his child or not. He don't care if your hair is pink or blue or all three. All two. Both. It don't matter. That's God loves this. And man, we so look at people and we're the obstacle in their way. Trust him beyond this. Trust God beyond what you're facing. He is for you. The Bible says this. If he is for us, who can be against us? Verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Philippians 4:19, most of my life was kind of preached as a prosperity verse. Does anybody know what Philippians 4:19 says right offhand? Anybody? For my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. How many of us have heard that as a prosperity verse? And God does supply our needs financially, absolutely. But he supplies what we need out of his resources. I may not need my bill paid today. I may need something else. And God's got that. I need some hope as I rise out of bed. God's got that. I need some peace in my life. God's got that. I need a stronghold broken. God's got that. I need something in my life. And God has what we need because our needs are not met by what we do. Look, we can only make so much money. You can work 50,000 hours a week and still be short. You can work yourself to early grave and never achieve your goal. But God, in one moment, with one spoken word, with one wave of his hand, can bring into your life all and more than you ever will need. It's from His source, not ours. His kingdom, not ours. We serve a supernatural God. And yet we try to walk in life in a natural realm. It's like apples and oranges. It doesn't compare. God, I trust You. I believe You, that You are able to give me what I need. I trust You beyond this. Who is he that condemneth? Bill brought that up this morning in Sunday school. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died and is risen again, who is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Man, he is constantly standing in the gap on my behalf. He's a soldier at attention for me, defending me, guarding me, watching me, providing for me, helping me all along every single day. My God doesn't leave his post. My God doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't walk away. He doesn't fall back. He stands there constantly on my behalf, making sure, yes, that's my child. He stays my child. And the old devil says, oh God, but look what Bill did last night. Do you see the blood on his life? Yeah, he's covered. He's covered. So get back with your lies, your condemnation. Don't let the devil place judgment and guilt upon your life. If you believe that you are forgiven, if you know him, you know you're forgiven. If you know you're forgiven, you'll walk with a peace and a power and understanding of who you are in Christ. I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. I'm right standing because of what he did, not because of what I've done. I'm right standing because he paid the price. I had nothing to do with it. Lay down our holy works, so to speak, to where we think we have elevated ourselves above other folks. You know, and we all kind of have that spiritual arrogance from time to time. Well, I really know the Word of God, and I know how God works, and I know how God moves. Do we really know that much about how God works and moves? I just trust Him. I just trust Him. Lord, you can move on in any avenue through any resource you want to bless my life and bring to me what I need. It's all that matters. I trust you. We see stories throughout the Bible of that. I think about that fishing story. We've got some fishermen in here today. Some fisher story where disciples have been fishing all night long. Remember that story? Hadn't caught nothing. That's what they did for a living, professional fishermen. They came back to shore and Jesus says, launch back out. We'll go fishing. I said, Master, we have toiled all night long. We have fished all night long. And as Andy Griffith would say, ain't caught nair a thing. Not nair a thing. But he said this, which is so profound. But nevertheless, at your word, we will drop the nets. And when they dropped those nets, all of a sudden the fishies came. Where there was nothing all night long, now their nets were full. You know why? My God shall supply all of your need according to His. Somebody hear this. His riches and glory. Not their abilities, not their fishing equipment, not the fancy boat and the great bait, but through God's kingdom. Because I do believe those fish weren't there until by faith they let down their nets. And when God saw their faith in action, He, in a moment, I don't even believe those fish existed. I'll be honest, I don't think they even existed. They weren't even there at all until they dropped their nets. And I believe God says, let there be fish, and there were fish. Hallelujah. That's the God that we serve, because God can create it in a moment. Just because it wasn't there or isn't there doesn't mean it can't be there. God's still creating. He didn't just stop after 7 days, right? I mean, God is still the creator of all things. They are still finding new species over the world of animals they've never discovered. Still finding new species of all kinds of animals that they've never... I mean, here we are in 2020, and they're still finding things they've not discovered. Only about 85%, I mean, only about 15% of the oceans have even been explored. I mean, only 15% of our oceans have been explored. 85% haven't been explored. No telling what's down there. There could be a Bigfoot in the water. Your dad would like that, Nick. I don't know. But think about what all lives that we never see, but that God created. God created an octopus. Isn't that a cool animal? creepy, though. Got them eight arms and them suction cups you can hang something on a wall with. Eight arms, you know, and it slinks to them dark depths of the water. Then he's got the shark and the whale and the seal and the walrus with whiskers. I mean, they all look different. Got the penguins, you know, walk. I mean, everything's different. Man, God's amazing. I mean, you remember the story last week, right? God's made iguanas that when they freeze, they fall out of the trees. Did y'all hear that story last week? Amazing. South Florida had a warning for fallen iguanas because the temperatures got in the 40s and they literally in the trees froze and they fell and they said, don't bother them. They're not dead. When the temperature rises, they'll thaw back out and start moving. Creepy. Hey, Daddy, what's that? Go ahead and pet it, Timmy. It starts moving. Can you imagine? I mean, man. Frozen iguana. I thought it was a joke when I first heard it. I really did. I thought CNN was talking about it. I'm sorry. I really thought it was wrong. Fallen iguanas. Man, God's amazing. What do we see in our yards? May, June, July, August at nighttime. Thank you, Mindy. What'd you say? Pollen. We're being positive here. You've got a bug that lights up. Yes, a lightning bug. And you can see them when you're sober. I mean, they're real. They're lightning bugs that light up at night. I used to catch those as a kid. Did y'all catch those as a kid? I had a jar. I get a jar, put tinfoil on top, poke holes in it so it could breathe, put a little grass in there, and throw them in a jar. Oh, that was so fun. Lightning bugs. Man. Does your son ever call lightning bugs, Raleigh? That's good. That's a good life lesson. That's good he does things like that. God is still creating all of these things so God can bring into your life what you need. What verse am I on? 35. Who shall separate me from the love of Christ? Now here it comes. Here's our storms. Tribulations, we're going through those. Distress, we're all facing that. Persecution, from time to time we do that. Famine, a lack of something, yes. Nakedness, not clothed what we need, absolutely. Pearl, sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But in all of these things, every battle, every storm, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. If I know God loves me, I can believe in him and I can trust him. That even when I don't feel that love, I know he does. When I don't see that love being poured in my life the way I want to, like Melanie last night in pain, she can lay there and still realize, God, I know you love me. And I'm in pain, but I know that you love me. And I know, God, you died for me. And I know I'm more than a conqueror. And I know you're not going to leave me. And I know you feel this with me. I don't know why I have to have it, but I do believe in you. And I trust you that you are still God through my pain and through my persecution, through my pearl and through my sword. You're still God. And I trust that. I believe in you, God. I believe in you. I'm trusting you beyond this. All of us have a this in our lives. Most of us have more than one this that we're facing. And we've got to trust God beyond what's standing in our way. David trusted God over Goliath, and we see what happened there. The giant fell when he trusted God. I am persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul pretty much tries to list everything possible. It's really a list go on, but it's really saying there is nothing in this world, nothing in life, nothing, nothing, even death, doesn't separate us from the love of God. When we put someone in the ground and we bury them, their faith in Christ, because of their faith in Christ, they are not separated from their Creator. They are with their Creator. The breath of our bodies leaving doesn't cause us to not be with God anymore. He created us. He took dust from the ground, the Bible says, and
blew into it and breathed into it, and we became a living soul. I want to encourage you, trust God beyond the this in your life. Whatever you're battling, whether it's sickness, whether it's doubt, whether it's fear, whether it's, you know, can I ever overcome this obstacle? Bill said something this morning was pretty profound. It got me to think of my own life. It spoke to me personally. Talking about temptation and how that because, I think he said something about because you know, Christ overcame temptation. We can overcome temptation. That power lives inside of us. We don't have to, I think sometimes we use the excuse a little bit too much. Well, I'm just a human being. You know, you just want to sin, y'all. That's why we say stuff like that. I just want to sin. We don't want no accountability of saying, you know what? I don't have to go that way. I don't have to succumb to this. I don't have to let this pull me under. I am more than a conqueror. I am in Christ Jesus. I do have his power living inside of me. So I'm not going to let the temptation anymore override me. I can, through Christ, overcome this. Let your thises that stand before you fall down under the power of that which is Christ Jesus. And you will see things in your life change. We want to do a special, come on up here, Marjorie. We want to do a special prayer for Nancy Rhodes this morning. She asked me to pray for her, and we're going to get a few of y'all to come up and join me with Nancy Rhodes. And what's happening in her life is she's having her gallbladder removed February 6th, and the doctors have told her that she has to stop smoking. I mean, she's going to die. She's got to stop smoking. And she's scared. She needs help and strength to break this addiction. Here's what I want. I want Bill to come up here, if you would. I want my wife to come up here. And I want any of you that has been set free from smoking to come up here and join me. If God has set you free from smoking, come up here. And don't be ashamed of it. We ain't gonna let you know different because you used to smoke. I promise. Come on up here, Nancy Rhodes. Anybody God has set free from smoking, come up here and let's pray. Because this is Nancy Rhodes' desire. First of all, of course, for the surgery to go well and all that is good. And then God helps her with this. Do what? Oh, you're welcome. This is beautiful. Look at all these smokers God set free. 4 packs a day. See, we love doing that, don't we? You hear Nancy Rhodes? I don't do that. Oh, my goodness. Lord, we lay our hands on Nancy Rhodes, anoint her with the oil, the Bible says. Lord, we break this spirit of addiction in her life. She can't do this by herself, but you, God, can give her the strength and the power to overshadow her addiction and set her free. We pray, God, that she's able to lay this down and walk away and giving you the glory that Jesus has set her free in the name of Jesus. We pray for her surgery, God, that you guide every hand that's involved and that she comes out of this fully whole and fully well with no complications. Give her peace, Lord, and not fear. Give her peace and not anxiety. Give her peace, God, in the name of Jesus. And we declare the victory. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank y'all so much for praying with her. Usher, come on up here. We'll give you a chance to give your offering this morning, your tithes and offerings. Nate, come on up here, brother, on drums, if you would. glad to see Miss Destiny and her boyfriend with us today. I know Destiny's been working most Sundays at one of my favorite places to eat. And it's not me, Pablo's. What's the other place I like to eat? Thank y'all. Y'all know me. Village Inn. Yes. But it's so good to see you, darling, today. Very good to see you. Let's pray over our offering. Father, as we give of our first fruits to you, God, we are thankful. We do trust in you. We know as we sow our seed, God, that you are going to bless us from your kingdom. You're going to provide for us. You're going to always take care of us. This is part of our worship, and we thank you, God, that we are able to worship through our giving. Bless every hand that sows. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I guess the goodness is over. All right. Granny, got something to say? Would you go say something? Oh, okay. Like you're going to say something. I'll make sure. Do you need to say something? Are you okay? Okay. Go ahead. Say something. That's right. You're welcome. I don't know. I just feel like you had to say something. I don't know. Oh, man. All right. Hope to see y'all. This is a new year, 2020. I'm going to give y'all two challenges. I'll go back once again. Sunday school at 9 o'clock is incredible. You get a whole different spin and a whole different setting than the worship service. So it's a great prelude to get you ready and get you charged and have something already there to come in here with. And Bill does an excellent job. I want to encourage y'all. There's a new year. Try it. If you don't like it, you ain't gonna be hurt. Whatever. I tell people that if you come to church here, it's not your thing. I understand. I'm gonna love you anyway. I understand. We are a different church. We are not denominational for a reason, and we just flow with the Lord. And we're a mix of all kinds of folks. I got Methodist folks in here. Von Silk can have a Methodist church. We got a lot of Baptist folks in here. I got Pentecostal folks in here. We got a Catholic guy. Used to be a Catholic church back there. We got a whole bunch of folks. We're just a modge podge. And I'm glad. I wouldn't want it no other way. So Sunday school, I want to encourage this year. Get in Sunday school at 9 o'clock if you can. And I want to encourage you about Wednesday nights. Get here if you can on Wednesday. We had a little better crowd this past Wednesday. It was nice to see that. Get here on Wednesday nights. My board's over there. We're doing a series on Wednesday called Our Spiritual Life, What It Looks Like. You get to see me draw pictures and stuff like that on there. It's really cool. I'm not Bob Ross. But and Maddie left a message for me. That's Maddie's message, Mindy, over there. I don't know if you can see it toward the bottom left. Maddie wrote that Wednesday night, love God. Isn't that sweet? She wrote that on there. So come out on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, if you can. We got the parking lot really lit. We got brand new lights out there. So it's even more lit. As the young folks say, or used to say, it's more lit in here. So it's lit out there, and it'll be lit up in here. So come out on Wednesday night. be a part of our Wednesday night our service. It's important, and we have a good time. We have a good time, don't we, Jeremy? Wednesday nights are good, aren't they? And Jeremy's been coming back on Wednesday nights. It's been so nice seeing him on Wednesday nights coming. So, anyway, Doc, you good? All right. You look good. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for this message, this word, and your spirit's been in this place today. We thank you that we can trust you beyond this. Lord, let us leave this sanctuary with really one revelation, that we can trust you no matter what. That is the message. No matter what we're facing, what we see, the world is moaning and groaning and hungry for something real. And that is coming, God. That is coming. There is so much more than what we see here. And we give you praise and thanks for that beautiful, beautiful promise we have in you. Bless your people. Protect us. Give travel mercies to each one that leaves. And bless our church body. Ordain our steps, God, for your purpose and your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.